I absolutely love that first firing up of the grill on a warm summer evening. Do you or someone else in your home take grilling as seriously as I do? The Burger Perfection Pack is an incredible deal for just $99.99. This exclusive package includes 20 of Omaha Steaks' mouthwatering steak burgers. That's four of each of their finest burgers. Pure ground filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Only available at omahasteaks.com. Impress your next dinner party or family cookout with exclusive products not available at grocery stores. All backed by Omaha Steaks' 100% money-back guarantee. Get ready for grilling season with the mouth-watering Omaha Steaks Burger Perfection Pack, plus 8 free Wagyu Smash Burgers for just $99.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and as a bonus, use promo code YUM to get $35 off your order. That's $35 off with promo code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details.
John Hodge for Three Down Nation reporting from the Edmonton Elks presidential office. I'm joined by Chris Morris. Chris, thanks for doing this.
No worries, man. My pleasure.
You're about a year on the job. Yeah. And as someone who, you know, I know you're originally from Toronto, but you've called this city home for decades. You played for this organization for well over a decade. How does it feel being a year into the job?
Yeah, it feels a lot better than coming in. You know, you come in and you kind of don't know the extent of the damage. You're kind of thinking that one, you know, there's some things that need to be fixed, but there was quite a bit of foundational things that needed to be done here. And I think changing culture and changing sort of expectations around culture and what we want to look like as an organization and stand for and all those different things. So like that, those are big changes for people. Right. And then getting people, you know, internally here, like, okay, do I want to be part of this? Is this something that I believe in? Is this something that I want to be part of going forward? And then people have to make decisions. And until all that happens, it's really hard to get a lot of actual traction and get work done, right? So, but it's been a great process. It's been a lot of fun getting things going, and I think we got a good group here now.
Well, and culture is something that can't be changed in a day, right? Culture is a long-term change. Relative to a year from now, how do you feel the culture has changed for the positive?
Yeah, I just think we're like, I'm big on service, right? And I think this club, even though it's a private owner now, as opposed to being a community-driven club, we're about serving the community of Edmonton. Like, we're about bringing value to our community. So value in having a good football product that people can be proud of, having a huge serviceable, like a charitable arm that serves the community directly from a, you know, whatever business interests are in this city, they should be able to say, let's partner with the Edmonton Elks and how can we make an impact on kids and how can we make an impact on the community? I think just from a being positioned in the community standpoint around, you know, how do we want to be a contributor here as opposed to like standing here and being like, we're the Edmonton Elks. What can the city do for us? And I think that is a massive shift. And I think that for me, the Thompson family has embodied those sort of beliefs as long as they've been around. And I think for me, one of the reasons that the job was such a great fit was that that's what I believe in. I believe that this whole thing, everything about the Edmonton Elks should be about serving the city of Edmonton, the people here, the community here, the kids here, the families here. And I think we're getting people in the building who believe in that and not, you know, it's one thing to come to work and say, yeah, this is all good. But having people actually believe that it's like, that's why we're here. That's the purpose of our organization. That it's a process to get to there. And we've done lots of work internally. We've done lots of work from a leadership standpoint. We've done lots of work from just bringing the staff in general into those sort of thoughts. And, you know, I know Ed has, when you think of the business, it's there's a football component to it and there's a business component to it. But one of the big reasons that Ed was not just my first choice, but the sort of the only guy I wanted to work with was that I know how he stands on these things. And I know how his feeling is about this club's relationship with the community and how that needs to look. And we have, I would say, seamless alignment in that area. And so I don't have to worry about the messaging that's happening with him and the football, the club, because I know that we're in alignment.
Well, let's talk about the football side, because obviously your team was extremely aggressive in free agency yet again. But I also know that Ed spoke to the media afterwards and kind of said, yeah, this is the last time we're planning to do this, right? We used free agency the last 2 years to kind of redo that roster. And now we're looking for that continuity. Why do you feel as though that's a good strategy moving forwards.
Yeah, I tell you, when I first got the job, I talked about the importance of continuity and the importance of family and the importance of, like, football's too hard of a sport to have to run like a pirate ship where three quarters of the team turns over every year and you bring in a bunch of new people. And, like, you think about developing even offensive systems and defensive systems and special team systems. Like, you're there for 1 year, you know the surface of it. If coaches get 3 or 4, 5, 6 years into a system, now the base is, you don't even use the base anymore. You're using 3, 4 different levels or scaffolds that have been built off the base. You can't do that with new players every year. You have to have a core group of guys who know what they're doing and are operating at level 4 or 5, not just starting at level 1 every year. And I know sometimes, like, and there are people who believe this, that just give me the best athletes and it doesn't matter what we do and it'll be okay. And it's like, to an extent, there's some validity to that. You do need good athletes, but I'll take good athletes that have been together for 4 or 5 years over just really good athletes any day of the week. And I think that's what we're building towards.
Let's talk about the ownership side. You mentioned Larry Thompson, and I know a tremendous amount of time and care went into finding the perfect private owner for this organization, a team that had been publicly owned for, I believe, since its inception. And then, I think it was 1949, this club was founded, something like that.
Yeah.
And obviously a horrific situation where Larry unfortunately passed mid-season. Where are you right now with the Thompson family and their commitment after, again, obviously a tragic, unexpected loss?
Yeah, it's funny because Deb is very, very committed to making sure that this goes forward. And I think she loves the community and she loves what it does for the community. But she also has that sense of, like, I know how much the important this was to Larry. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to her because it was so important to Larry. She loves the sport and that as well. And her kids as well. Like, they are fully committed to making sure this happens. Like, I was talking to Chelsea yesterday. Chelsea is one of her daughters, and that she runs our Game Changers events. Our Game Changers events is an ovarian cancer service event. And we had a great, great event last year out here on Commonwealth, but bunch of women out there running through different drills with our players and having a really, really good time and raising a bunch of money for ovarian cancer research. Like, she is just so involved. Like, and all of the family are becoming more and more involved in how we're running the organization. Like, that's what it should be. It should be all of us together with the same sort of vision for how this looks like and building it out together. And I think we're well on our way.
Well, I believe your ovarian cancer research fund just surpassed $1 million. So congratulations on that. That's a nice benchmark.
Yeah, no, there's been a lot of very strong women working on that for a long time and doing a good job.
When it comes to making headway, like we talked about culture needing time, obviously when you, and we're looking out at big, beautiful Commonwealth Stadium right now from your office, you've got an A+ view here.
Yeah, it's really pretty nice.
It has been a long time since the stadium was full, right? Yeah. We've seen the crowds dwindle. That's not something that you're going to get back from, let's say 14,000 to 45,000 overnight. But what is your vision for the next maybe 1 year, 3 years, 5 years? How confident are you that we can fill a good portion of this building?
Yeah, I'm extremely confident. The city of Edmonton loves football. The city of Edmonton loves to be connected and they love to rally around something that's important to them, right? We had a long string here of disconnection from the community. And like when you went out into the community and I'll use this example. Like I had a meeting with several key prominent business owners and movers and shakers in the city when I first got here. And they were all just so angry. They were all just like this, like, and different things that have been done from a business standpoint and just from a relationship standpoint. And sitting in that room, listening to all the things, all I could really say was, look, it's going to be different. And you can tell by the look on their face, like, okay, there's been a bunch of presidents through here, all that sort of stuff. But I think over the last year, I've become really, really good friends with several of them. And it's been like meeting after meeting after connection. And now several of them are so invested with us right now. Like we're going with Grant Fedoruk's Leading Edge Physical Therapy. Like we're having a big gathering with like 100 prominent business owners at his house where we're going to just talk, and you can't get in the door unless you're interested in supporting the club and doing season tickets. Like these are people who are so disappointed with the way we were doing things that they just didn't want to be connected. And for me, I can't one person stand on top of a building here in Edmonton and yell out, the Edmonton Elks are going to be a great organization. We're going to be awesome. Character, integrity, all these things are important and have people listen. I have to touch as many people as possible that have prominent and, you know, influential roles and get them to help me and have them be out in the community saying, hey, like I talked to Chris and these are the things they're doing. And this is how this business is going to run moving forward. And the Thompson family is committed to this community. and then have them go out and be market multipliers saying, look, this is why it's good to come back and be part of this thing. And I think we're well down the road on that. I think we got a lot of really, really good things going on here right now. Like Ken Franchuk from Crystal Glass is another big, big help with that. Like there's a bunch of them that are coming back that left here. Like I could tell you some stories about people that had left here and the circumstances under which they left, which are just like almost you just scratch your head and you're like, how could that happen? Right. But it did. And it is, you know what I mean? I can't do anything about how it happened. All I can do is talk about the vision that the Thompson family and that I and that Ed Hervey and that Mark Killam have for rebuilding the franchise and the involvement of the community in that process, and then get people who are like-minded to come aboard. And we're doing really, really good work in there. We're way ahead on season tickets. We're way ahead on partnerships. Like there's a lot of positive vibe in the city right now about how we're doing things. And again, it just comes back to going back to the basics. Like the community is the most important thing, and how do we serve that? And then there's a lot of people in Edmonton who will get behind you.
Well, and it's tough, right, when maybe people in the past have overpromised and underdelivered, right? I appreciate that sometimes it might be tough for fans to say, okay, we've been promised things in the past that maybe weren't there, and I appreciate you can't control that. What's the message that you get? Like you touched on the corporate partners, but when you reach out to fans, maybe people who had season tickets in the past and don't anymore, what are some of the reasons you're hearing maybe why they made that decision, and how are you fighting to bring them back?
Yeah, well, there's a catastrophic series of events here that led to a bunch of season ticket holders leaving, right? Like the way the name change was done, the disrespect that was shown to the fans that had been Eskimo fans for years, and like almost like you're dirty if you believe in the word Eskimo. And that like, it was just very, very, I think it was shocking, alarming, and disrespectful in the way it was done. It just wasn't done in a way where it's like, there's a great history here. There's so many great people who have supported this franchise and done great things. And I think we're moving past that now. We're getting into the spot where we can go forward. But the fans themselves, like no one in the history of North American sports lost as many home games in a row as we did.
Yeah.
So like, let's face it. Like when you're that bad, it takes time to regain credibility. And you start off by building the foundational pieces and doing the right things and doing business the right way. But the reality is now we got to start showing on the field. And in my opinion, we did show on the field last year. We won several key home games last year. We played Saskatchewan in a game that they really, really wanted to win and beat them. We played Winnipeg in a game they really needed to win and we beat them. And we beat Calgary in a game where we were very competitive. And we were very competitive with the youngest team in the league and a first-year coaching staff. So I think there is an incredible amount of positivity right now internally here. We feel very good about heading into this next season. And I think a lot of our fan base are starting to see that. But the reality is some of them are going to, I got to wait and see what's going to happen here, because there's been a lot of people in here saying how great it's going to be and all these great, good things that are going to happen. But I can just tell you right now, like I've been around football a long time and I've coached it and I've played, and like our team's built right. Our lines of scrimmage are good. We have speed. We have a quarterback who's got lots of experience and knows what he's doing. There's a lot of positive pieces here. Now, the season's going to be what the season is, and all kinds of different things can happen. But as from a planning standpoint and from a roster construction standpoint, we're in a pretty good spot.
You mentioned that season tickets are up from last year. And I know, speaking with some other presidents, they kind of break them into two categories. It's like you want a really high renewal rate, but then you want lots of news. Can you share any details in terms of what your renewal rate is and maybe how many news you have relative to last year?
Yeah, so I could show you a chart, like the graph of Edmonton Elks football. Our renewal rate has been almost 25% down every year since the last decade.
Okay. Wow.
So you can think about the impact. Like we've gone from 20 plus thousand season tickets to 7,000 season tickets. So we are going to, for the first time, and I don't say it, but like we're over 95% to target, which was to maintain everybody we had. So like that is like, we are so far ahead of at any point where we've been in the last at least 5 or 6 years in regards to renewal of season tickets that it's almost unbelievable. And Emma and our ticketing team here have done a great job making sure that we're working on those renewals, and the new season tickets are starting to come as well. Like that's our focus going forward here over the next couple of months here, is to make sure we take care of that. That's what that big event at Grant Fedoruk's house is about. Like we're getting a bunch more in the hopper here. It's going to be a process, but we're making huge traction and huge headway this year.
I wanted to ask you about profitability, which might not be a goal for the Thompson family, might not be a goal for this team. I don't know. I can't speak to that, but I'll use the Montreal Alouettes as a reference. A year ago, they put out a press release saying they've got a new CEO and they're being tasked to bring the team to profitability. Danny Machocha spoke to the media, the club's GM, the senior vice president of football operations, saying that they're very close to breaking even, which is something that's tough to do when you don't own your building, you don't own your practice facilities. Now, you have ownership of more than they do. Is profitability a goal for you? And if so, is it a realistic goal in the next 1 year, 3 years, 5 years?
Yeah. So my plan when I interviewed for this job was I feel very strongly this place can be not just profitable, but very profitable within a 3 to 5 year window, right? So you have to be able to, like, our goal was the first year that we knew that we were going to have to just sort of, we're coming in halfway through the year, we're going to have to sort of rally here and do the best thing we can and start turning some minds and hearts in Edmonton. This next year, we feel we have a nice base in that area. Now we've started to build our roster the way we want to. We start winning some games this year. And then next year is where we should start approaching where we're getting closer. We're somewhere in that range, right? So, and then years 4 and 5 is where we should be, you know, looking to be profitable again, right? Like, it's, we have a huge stadium here. We have lots of seats here. Like, the lower bowl here is 30,000+ seats, right? So the road to profitability for us is a strong partnership funnel, but also 20,000+ a game, right? And that's where, you know, we used to average 30,000+ a game. So there is, like, they have the wrong guy here if he's sitting here telling you, oh yeah, we don't care about being profitable.
Right.
Like, that's not, you know what I mean? Like, this is a sports business, right? And there's a whole bunch of pieces to building it, and you have to build it right. But if you build it right in this city, you should be a profitable sports franchise, and especially with football and especially with this facility. So I would say last year was our first year. Within 5 years, I would expect that we're profitable, if not before that. And I think that year three and four is where we have to start looking at where that would be a viability.
And do you think that 20,000 mark would allow you to be profitable with crowds of that size?
20,000 would be close. You know what I mean? You're looking at 20,000, you're kind of like, okay, depending on what your partnership is, depending on what your merchandise, what your other streams of revenue are, you could be close. 22 to 25 is where you're like, okay, now we're making money. Now we're going to be a profitable organization. Now we're going to be somewhere where, now we'll see where we go from there, right? And that's, you know, in Edmonton, 25,000, average 25,000, if the team's winning, is, I don't think that's something that's beyond, you know, belief, even in the next couple of years, right? But you can't, there's no amount of fairy dust that I can spread around here if we start off 0-7 again. It just doesn't matter. You have to be good. You have to have a good football product. Now, you know, we looked at a lot of different things last year, our metrics around, like, our game day experience. Like, it, close to 90% of the people who come in here who fill out surveys around their game day experience are not just happy, they're over the moon happy with the game day experience. So there's a lot of positives going on. Like, we have great connection with family. We have a family zone. Our tailgate is, in my opinion, the best in the league. We have lots of great things going here, but it's like perfume on a pig if you're not winning games, right? So you gotta, you know what I mean? We hired the right people on the football side, and we've got great people who are going to build it, and not just build it for like a 1 year window. They're going to build a foundation for a team that's going to be competitive perpetually. Right. And that's, you know, I came here and I played here 14 years. We never missed the playoffs. There was 32 straight years where they didn't make the playoffs. Like, the thought process around building teams back then was almost 180 from what I saw when I first got here, when there's like just this massive turnover every single year, right? So we're getting back to that. And, you know, for me, that's the formula for success. For Ed, like, he feels the same way about that's the formula for success. And we're just going to see where that goes. And I'm very confident that we can get there.
Well, in the West Division is tough, by the same token, I mean, 7-10 or 7-11 last year. But as you said, like it was a tough start, and then you guys were over 500, really, if you can't cancel out that first third of the season or so. So you've shown recently that you can do it. Just look for the hot start. Yeah. We really appreciate your transparency, Chris. We appreciate your passion. And I wanted to ask, maybe a year or two ago, the City of Edmonton website, there were some mock-ups for some potential upgrades to Commonwealth Stadium. Obviously, your friends south of here desperately need a new stadium. I think everybody agrees on that. For Commonwealth, what would your vision be for 5 to 10 years from now? Is this a stadium that needs replacing because it's too large? Is it a stadium that needs significant upgrades? Does it just need tweaks? What in a perfect world would the stadium situation look like in Edmonton?
Yeah, I think there needs to be some upgrades for sure. And I think if you look at, like, if there's going to be a new stadium down in Calgary, usually the provincial government would look at a way to sort of, okay, we got to take care of both sites, right? Mm-hmm. And we need some significant upgrades here. The city does a great job of maintaining what we have, but it's older, right? Yeah. So for me, like the 30,000, the lower deck is good. There's lots of things we can do in the upper deck to build premium seating and to build different products for seating where it's not necessarily always going to be like, okay, if we don't have 55,000 people here, it looks empty, right?
Right.
But I think that like the biggest thing are just the amenities, just like the, you know, the concessions and all those different things just need to be upgraded a little bit. And I think that's a part of what the city would do. I think over on that other side there'd be some opportunity to build some things out storefront to help the city in general. I know from our standpoint, like we're at the final stages now of getting a project over at Clark Field there where we'll have it domed and we'll have like a really nice high performance center, but where it's also going to be a community hub. And I've got dealings going on where there's going to be, you know, kids from the community and all those different things will come in there and we'll have a window every day for the kids in the inner city here to come and be surrounded by our players and be surrounded by some good positive role modeling, right? So the Thompson family vision is to build out this section of Edmonton and to make sure that it's taken care of and to make sure that the kids here and the families here have opportunities, right? So the stadium revitalization is part of it. Clark revitalization is part of it. And the family is very, very motivated and excited about what we can do to have an impact on the surrounding community here.
Awesome. Well, we thank you so much for your time, Chris.
Thank you.
Wish you the best of luck.
Oh, thanks very much.